Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, imagine you're an astronomer, right? And we don't look down a telescope so much anymore. But imagine you're an astronomer and you look at the data, and in the data you see an undeniable pattern, some irrefutable evidence of aliens. Who gets to announce to the world that intelligent life has been discovered beyond Earth? Or life at all? You? Your university? Or your company? The government? The United Nations? And why does that matter? Well, joining us now is Professor Michael Garrett. He's an astrophysicist at the University of Manchester and chair of the International Academy of Astronautics, SETI Committee. Welcome to the programme, Michael. Remind us who SETI are, please.
Well, SETI is the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. It's an astronomy-based activity where we're looking at astronomical data for the sort of signature of other technologies, extraterrestrial technologies from other advanced technical civilizations.
And just to briefly kind of go through the, you know, when people hear that, they go, oh, you're looking for aliens. That sounds a bit mad. Just basically talk me through the thinking behind this, the science and the mathematics as quickly as possible, even though I know it's quite dense. But just, you know, the idea of looking for aliens sounds crazy, but actually it's based in pretty good maths. And the way you're looking about it is based in pretty intelligent science.
Well, yeah, I mean, we know over the last couple of decades that just about every star has some kind of planetary system. Now, we never knew that until sort of the mid-1990s. So that means that there are something like 100 billion, maybe even more, planets in our own galaxy. And a good fraction of those will have been very similar to the way the Earth was 4 billion years ago when life first started to arrive. So basically, you know, if it happened here, why shouldn't it happen elsewhere? It seems reasonable to think that it might.
Absolutely. And the way we go about looking for life is through myriad ways, but looking for patterns and signals from far away is an activity that SETI has been doing for quite some time. Talk to me about this new document, the ET Code of Contact. What is it?
Well, it's a document that has a long heritage, a long history. So this is not the first time it's been done. It's the first time it's been updated in 15 years. So the last incantation was in 2010. And before that, there was one in 1989. It's really a kind of set of guidelines for, as you mentioned earlier, that astronomer, maybe without a background in SETI, who suddenly stumbles, you know, towards this fantastic discovery. And then begins to think about, well, you know, what next? They probably have a feel for the fact that this has interest that goes beyond the scientific community, that sort of the general public is very interested in this question of, you know, life elsewhere in our own galaxy and the universe. So we hope that the document will be a sort of guideline for someone who maybe doesn't quite have the background that maybe SETI scientists have, so that they can do the right thing, make the right decisions, and sort of think a little bit about the impact that their discovery might have beyond the scientific community.
And this is, I suppose, more and more relevant as the ability to look to the skies and analyze publicly available data or their own data becomes increasingly much easier to do. Like, it's not difficult now to point something at the sky and use, quite advanced technology to analyze what it is that we've seen. So it is possible that even though SETI and many astronomers are looking for life in the skies above us, that this might be found by an ordinary person. And this document is for them. So what is this? If I discover some pattern, some unusual signal or message coming from the stars, what should I do and why?
Well, the first thing is sort of verification. So I think that this isn't just like any other kind of astronomical discovery, which, you know, may be very interesting. You know, the public is also interested in astronomy. But I don't think it has sort of a huge impact on, you know, a large number of people, a few interested people will find it, you know, something that's important. But when you're thinking about, you know, this possible discovery of life elsewhere in the universe, and in particular, not just life, but intelligent, conscious, technically advanced civilization, probably similar in some respects to our own, then that has a much larger impact than just your standard sort of astronomical discovery. And I think, you know, back in the day when these guidelines were first drawn up, people realized, who were working in the field, they realized that they had a larger responsibility than just a normal astronomer has. And so one of the important things really is verification, because we don't want to go out there and say, look, oh, we've found, you know, intelligent life. And then a couple of months later, someone finds out, well, it was an artifact in the data. It was a problem with your telescope, with your CCD camera or whatever. So one of the things that's really enshrined in the guidelines is that if you think you've made this discovery, then you need to share it with some colleagues, maybe with another telescope that can sort of reproduce the result with a different telescope, with a different team, you know, scientific team, with different analysis software, so that you can really get an independent verification of the discovery. And only then should you really start to think about, you know, how am I going to communicate this to the scientific community and to the general public.
I presume people are doing this all the time. Like at SETI, do you get reports of people claiming to have discovered something because of just fake news or just wanting to find something? Or like, do you get lots of alerts of people claiming to do stuff and then realize it's made up or it's fake or it's AI generated or something? Is that happening more and more now?
Well, I think we definitely get messages which basically say, look, they're already amongst us. The aliens are already here. So like, why are you searching? You know, that's quite a common one. We don't get so many people claiming that they have discovered a techno signature, you know, this sort of astronomy telltale sign of, you know, another technical civilization. But we do get a lot of people who believe that, you know, we've already been visited and we're not admitting it. And we should be admitting it, and we should stop this search because we already know that actually we've detected intelligent life and they're amongst us, as they would say.
How would we detect this signature? Are there certain telltale signs of activity or of communication that we just know that we cannot find naturally?
Yeah, there is. So, I mean, basically any advanced civilization, and we're thinking, you know, with the instruments that we have at our disposal at the moment, we're thinking of civilizations that are probably a lot more advanced than we are, probably using a lot more energy than we do on this planet. Although, as you probably see, you know, the amount of energy that we use is continually growing, partly at the moment fueled by AI, for example. But we expect, you know, other civilizations to really be using a lot of energy. And when you use a lot of energy and you're busy doing stuff on a grand scale, you know, building stuff or communicating over long distances, all that stuff kind of imprints itself on astronomy. When we're looking at other planets or other stars or planets going around stars, then we can see that kind of activity in our data. And what we were looking for in particular is sort of emissions that we can easily distinguish between the natural emissions that occur from just the normal emission from planets and stars and galaxies. We were looking for artificial emission.
When I see something like this, is there a protocol? So I'm an amateur astronomer. I see something, I recognize it, and I go, this is definitely different. If the if I reach out to another telescope, another university associated body, and I say, look, can you verify this? What happens then? Is there a protocol? Is that what this document's about? What happens then if I've decided, am I legally allowed to share that information with the world, or are there actual protocols in place to stop you from doing that for obvious reasons?
Yeah, I mean, we call these protocols, but they don't have any legal basis, I
Right.
have to say. So, anyone who makes the discovery is actually free to do whatever they want. There's nothing that's going to stop them, going to, a local newspaper, for example,
Yeah.
and making the announcement. But what we hope is, if there was an amateur astronomer, and let's face it, amateur astronomers have made, continue to make discoveries all the time, so that wouldn't be sort of surprising in a sense. We'd hope that they would realize the magnitude of their discovery, and they'd maybe just sort of do a little Google, or they'd ask AI or whatever, what should I do? I'm in this kind of exceptional situation. What are the things I should be thinking about? Because they probably realize that, well, they're going to become very famous, for starters. So they might see all the positives, but there are also some negatives associated with being in that position. And we hope the document kind of addresses both of those things, the things that you should do in that circumstance. But also there's a little bit in the document that says, look, be careful. The world is a different place from, for example, when these protocols were last updated back in 2010. There's a lot of social media. It's very easy to pinpoint the location of people. People can come under all sorts of pressure, all sorts of criticism. So we'd hope that if they found themselves in that situation, they'd fire up Google, or they'd fire up their favorite AI chatbot, and they'd find this document. And I think this document would give them, some ideas of what they should do next, and also partly how to protect themselves.
Yeah, I guess being the center of attention generally is not a great idea these days. You do get, as you mentioned, in SETI, like this is a proper scientific approach to trying to understand the Fermi's paradox. That when you look at, as we covered in the program before, Drake's equation, this essentially mathematician try and astronomers try to figure out, the likelihood of us being alone is very, very, very small. And yet the paradox is, if there's life out there, where the hell is it? But there are people saying that it is, there is alien life amongst us, right? I don't particularly believe that. But what do you make of the sort of files that are being released by Trump, the UFO files that only a few days ago, files were released, and these are videos sometimes from fighter jets and so on. Like, as someone who's actually professionally looking for life outside in the universe, what happens when someone sends you a video and they say something funny about this? This doesn't look right.
Well, there may well be something funny about, these films that we've seen, but I don't make the sort of next, I don't think the logical step next is that this must be aliens. I think there's all sorts of phenomena in the sky that are at some level secret from us. There's national security issues. I mean, you cannot believe that governments around the world are not, for example, spying on each other. We know that they do. We know that we have drones. We know that we have balloons. We know that we have all sorts of different autonomous airborne vehicles that fly above our heads. Some of them are keeping us safe, but there's a lot of stuff out there. Some of these things are not just in the air, but they're in the ocean. So there's a lot of stuff happening. And I believe that some of these UAP things are real. I haven't really seen anything from the release of data from the US government that I think is saying, these are aliens. I don't see anything like that at all. But I do think, there's a question about what is flying above our heads, for example. And I don't think the authorities are going to be very happy if we look into that, because it is about national security. It is about keeping people safe. And to imagine that we just have civilian airlines just crisscrossing our skies, well, that's pie in the sky. There's a lot of other stuff that's crisscrossing the skies, keeping us safe in our beds at night. But it's not aliens. And so I personally think a lot of the UAP stuff that we see kind of falls into that category. It's not extraterrestrial in nature. It's almost certainly human-made. And we need more data, and good data, high-quality data. We need instrumentation that's actually designed to be able to detect this kind of phenomena. We need that out in the field before we can be, you know, absolutely sure about what these things are. And we need to bring the scientific method to this discussion. You know, actually have scientists look at data, look at good data, and tell us what they see based on the evidence, not based on what they want to be there, but actually based on scientific rigorous evidence.
Just a very quick one to finish up. If the British government or the American government did discover extraterrestrial life, chances are they would probably not want to release that immediately. And it's funny that Trump had a lot of these files that were classified while the Americans were trying to figure out, what is this? Do we know what this is? And eventually they were released because they were figured to be not non-threatening or too historical to be relevant. Mm-hmm. It does give you a sense that if we did discover life on Earth, that the governments wouldn't exactly be throwing this information at us willingly, because they've classified stuff that is very clearly, you know, some drones or some airplanes. So if we do discover life as a species, we probably won't know about it for quite some time.
It's possible, but I don't think the government controls the source of this discovery, typically. I think it's individual astronomers working at universities, observatories, institutes, not just in the US or in Britain, but actually there in Ireland, for example, you have people doing this stuff all over Europe, Australia, South Africa, China. This is an international activity. It's not owned by any one particular government. And then in the end, it's an individual team that will make the discovery. I think it would be extremely difficult to keep that secret, I have to say. I'm not saying that the governments would not be interested in such a discovery, especially if the signal is modulated, especially if the signal that we detect is actually conveying information, then you can be absolutely sure that governments will be interested in it, that large corporations and business will be interested in it. And that's partly also why any individual making this discovery has to realize just what they're getting themselves into.
All right, so you know what to do now. If you do discover signals out there,
give me a call.
Contact me first. Contact your local national radio station, News Talk, and we'll work out how to spin the story from there. Michael Garrett from the University of Manchester and SETI, thank you so much for your time.
Okay, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae,
proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.